The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. We are on the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We hope you can hear us out there in radio land, and we need to have a caller let us know and verify that you can hear us. Pepe has taken over the board this morning for the first time on his own, so we'll see how this goes. He's good. He seems good. He's not nervous. He's giving me two thumbs up. He's all good. We do have a guest, though. His name is Alan Klotz. He's coming to us from Western Maryland, and let's talk to Alan, and we'll get Pepe to lock him in. All right. There we go. Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you
doing? I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Can't complain. Sorry I didn't get back to you, but I figured we've done this a few times, and there wasn't any real urgency to call you back. I knew you were coming on. You knew you were coming on, and here we are talking about the wonderful fishing out there in Western Maryland, including Deep Creek Lake.
Yes,
indeed. Are the smallmouth on the beds yet?
I don't believe they're on the beds quite yet, but they are staging. Maybe you had some rainy weather in the last couple of weeks, but we sure did.
Oh, yeah, we had plenty of rainy weather, but they started, the smallmouth started to spawn here in late April. We had all that rain and cold weather. They backed off. We went out on Monday. That was whatever date that was.
Mm-hmm.
And we only caught 13, but they were all good fish, man. We had four over 20 inches, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice fish.
Yeah, they were good. So maybe we can do a little smallmouth fishing when we get up there. I'm coming up to Deep Creek. We got a wedding up there first weekend in June. So,
oh, man, you should be hitting some really good prime time.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. So I'll be in touch with you. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So tell me about what's going on at Deep Creek right now. I mean, is the ice off yet?
It just got off. Actually, we were out earlier in March doing some electrofishing, and we're doing a pike survey and some more biological data on pike.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean to tell you, there are some dandy pike in Deep Creek Lake.
I know it.
It was soon after ice out, and they start spawning soon after ice out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting some pike over 40 inches, but just the body mass on those fish is just truly amazing.
Yep.
And, we hope to get enough biological data where we may consider a regulation change to get more of those larger pike in there for, people have a greater chance at a fish of a lifetime.
No, that'd be great.
When they come up to get some pike. And I saw some pictures of you holding some nice pike from Deep Creek.
I did, yeah, I did. I haven't heard from Matt in a while. I guess he's probably turkey hunting. I see he put Tommy O'Connell on a beautiful bird there on Youth Day, and I haven't talked to Matt in a long time, but he's on the list to call. So,
mm-hmm.
The pike are just the pike is fishing is just phenomenal there in Deep Creek. It almost rivals anything you can find in north of the border. You know.
Oh yeah, on the size of those fish. Yeah. It's amazing.
Exactly. So
plenty to eat. That's the key for Deep Creek. They got plenty to eat in there.
Oh, there's lots of yellow perch and bluegills and I don't know I'm sure they find the trout delectable.
Oh yes, those soft right fish go down easy.
do you have shiners? A population of shiners in Deep Creek.
Shiners are the predominant forage fish in Deep Creek Lake, and they get big in there.
Oh, I know. I've caught them when I was a kid. I used to catch them. I never knew they got as big as they did, but, I mean, some of the freshwater lakes in Pennsylvania had them. I don't know if you know where Shawnee State Park is. We used to fish that when I was a kid. And Shawnee had shiners that were almost a foot long. I mean, they were just tremendous fish.
Yeah. Once they get that size, I mean, yeah. That's pike food right
that's
there.
That's definitely pike food, yep. And when we fish for pike up in Somerset County, right across the border from you,
mm-hmm.
We used to fish at Prince Galitzin State Park when I lived in Altoona. My dad had a boat there, and they had both northern pike, muskellunge, and then they imported for that lake only, and that's the only lake I ever knew that they had them, were the Amur pike from Russia.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they had all types of crossbreeds. They had musky Amur, they had northern Amur, they had, of course, a tiger musky is a cross between a purebred muskellunge and a northern pike, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, there was all kinds of fish crossbreeding going on in that lake. But some of those Amurs got pretty big, and then, they died out. But
Right.
But anyway, we were talking about Deep Creek. So, isn't springtime, isn't that walleye time up there?
Oh, it's amazing time right now to catch walleye. Again, we went out and electrofish in early April, right before the spawn. And we had one of our highest catch rates, electrofishing, that we've had. I think we collected well over 200 adult walleye per hour of electrofishing.
Wow.
They were thick. And, they're in that 14 to 19-inch range, a lot of males. I'd say 95% of the fish that we collected were legal size, which is 15 inches.
Right.
But there's a bunch in there, and they are good to eat.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. Oh, yes, you do have an idea. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love eating walleye. I mean, just, anybody that's ever caught a walleye of any size, I mean, they're not a huge, tremendous fighter.
Yeah,
but,
not at all.
But they're a bulldog for a little bit, and then they usually come right up. But anybody that's caught one over 5 pounds, I mean, that's quite a prize.
Yeah, we have some in there that size. I mean, I've seen, 10-pound walleye caught out of Deep Creek Lake. My personal best is about 5.5 pounds.
Yeah, no question.
They're in there.
This is back in the day. This is back, my dad passed in 99, and so I'm saying this is probably, mid-80s or something like that, and maybe earlier than that, because I believe I was still living in Pennsylvania at the time. Yeah, it was earlier than that, early 80s. One day, it was first day of trout season in Pennsylvania. I said, Dad, do you really want to go out and stand shoulder to shoulder with those guys on the streams? He goes, not really. I said, let's go to Deep Creek. He said, all right. So packed up the boat, ran to Deep Creek, got a bunch of minnows, and come down and fished. And we didn't do very much, but we pulled into the old Johnny's Bait House, which is not Johnny's Bait House anymore. And, just kind of checking things out and get some advice. And there was a 31-inch walleye laying on the cleaning board.
Wow.
And I said, Dad, look at this. And he goes, oh, my gosh, that's incredible. So just then, these two guys from West Virginia pulled up in this big old jacked-up pickup truck with the 40-inch tires on it and all this stuff. Uh-huh. And the guy's peering down at me. And I said, did you catch this fish? He goes, yeah, we got into a bunch of them, and we broke some off. It was bigger than that.
Wow.
I said, what were you fishing for? He goes, oh, we was fishing for smallmouth, and we got into a whole bunch of them. What are them fish? I said, well, that right there, brothers, that is a walleye, and it's bordered on state record size. Oh, we had some get up to the boat and break off bigger than that. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How would you like to have been in a boat with that guy?
Oh, yeah, man.
Caught him on hellbenders. Hellbenders of all things. Frog-colored hellbenders, yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, some guys have all luck, I guess.
That's true. That's true. So you got one over 5 pound, huh?
Yeah, that was my best in there. And again, you'll see them occasionally, at that 30-inch ones, and they're 10 pounds or greater at
point. Well, didn't Deep Creek at one time hold the state record?
It did. I actually was there the day it was caught. It was during one of the Garrett Bassers' annual walleye tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman brought that fish, and it's like, oh, my goodness gracious.
So, yeah, I fished that tournament. Fished that tournament one time early on, again, mid-80s up there. But, it's been a long, long time. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. But I'll tell you what. So have they had their tournament this year yet?
They did.
How'd they make out?
Pretty well. After, I think it was actually on opening day, they had about 45 boats show up, and they had five fish limit, and I think we checked in probably close to 200 fish that day.
Wow.
And they were actually some bigger fish than what we were electroshocking, so the anglers were actually able to catch bigger fish than our silver bullet boats. So.
Wow. That's pretty good. Well, you know, when somebody specializes in something, it's a pretty good deal that they're gonna know how to catch them. So
right, no, absolutely.
Yep, I'm glad they were able to do that. So, all right. Well, we touched on the smallmouth. You said the spawn was just getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's coming. What is the season? Let's talk about walleye first. What is the season for walleye and the size limit up there?
Okay, it's opened up already. Opened up on April 16th.
Okay.
You're allowed to keep five fish per day.
Right.
And a 15-inch minimum size.
Okay.
Years ago, it used to be 14 inches.
Right.
Just looking at, we dissected a few 14-inch fish, more than a few, and they were sexually immature at that time. So
right.
By one more year, they grew up to 15 inches, the females were able to reproduce. And it was dramatic once we closed that season. We had consistently good year classes, better spawns, and that's what led to these, you know, these high numbers of catch rates of walleye. So
just a difference in 1 inch in 1 year class.
Yes,
and that's pretty cool.
And we closed the season actually during the pre-spawn because mm-hmm. that's when those big females, those big 30-inch females, that's when they were the most vulnerable because they just wanted to eat like, you know, pigs before the spawn. And
right.
Once the big ones were being caught and harvested, so just protecting those, you know, those big females for that month and a half, you really made a difference.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, a lot of people, families come up there and fish, and you know they'll catch some of the smaller yellow perch and some of the smaller chain pickerel off the docks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a lot of fun. They'll catch a lot of fish. They'll catch panfish, you know, the bluegills and all that type of thing. But are there any really good shoreline places to fish for the bigger fish?
Yeah, you know, I'm a shoreline fisherman.
Okay.
I don't have a boat. And one of the best places I like to fish is right underneath the 219 bridge.
Been there.
Yeah, and it's just it's a narrow part of the lake, and, you know, I guess, fish just have to travel through there
right.
at some point. And that's my favorite walleye spot. It's light at nighttime. That's when you need to fish. As soon as those lights come on the bridge, that's when the walleye start hitting there.
Right. You can't fish from the bridge, but you got to fish on from the shoreline under there.
Yeah, we have a nice parking lot and a bathroom.
Right.
Fisherman access. That's a nice spot to fish.
Beautiful.
Although, you know, you got to be careful. There's a lot of riprap right down there. You may end up losing some jigs and lures.
Yeah.
But that's what they prefer. They like that spot. I mean, it's good for smallmouth. I've caught pike there. They've done very well with big yellow perch. I mean, there are some jumbo yellow perch.
Oh, we were going to talk about yellow perch, and you know, the people, you see these pictures of these folks with yellow perch from the Eastern Shore, you know, during the perch run,
mm-hmm.
and you know, in the Susquehanna and other places. But nothing rival. I mean, that's the only rival during that spawning run that you have to Deep Creek Lake, where you can consistently catch big yellow perch.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, we have.
I like to drift down through McHenry Cove with a night crawler.
That's one of the best spots.
Yeah.
McHenry Cove just seems to be a hot spot for those big jumbo perch.
And you got, you'd toss a night crawler on there and bounce it along the bottom. You never know if you're going to get a walleye or a yellow perch or have a big old 10-inch bluegill pick it up or whatever. I mean, you got some, you know, Deep Creek Lake. I think you told me maybe a year ago or one of the early times you were on here, is home to 20-some different species of fish. Not only you've got the warm water fish, but you've got the cold water fish like the trout are sustainable there and that type of thing, depending on where you fish.
Yeah, it's just a real diverse fishery, and it seems to be very well balanced. You just got very plump-sized fish.
Hey, no question. Well, they're plump because they got plenty to eat, and they eat each other. I mean, that's the deal. So,
that's right, yeah.
Yep. Well, hang on there, Alan. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more maybe about some of the premier pan fishing up there as well.
Great.
All right. Time for me to tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop. Now, Clyde's is a fixture here in Baltimore. They're almost 60 years old. They've been around since 1957. And same location. Started out as a little bait shop. two brothers, and worked their way up. If you ever want to hear a fascinating story, find out how they got into the gun business and how they became the first Browning dealer in Maryland. And I got to meet their rep years ago that became where they became a Browning representative, and now they're one of the premier Browning dealers, not only in Baltimore but in Maryland as well. I mean, there's not many places that have the Browning firearms and know about them that Clyde's has. And you know, if you're into the shotgun shooting sports, they've got the BT-99 trap gun down there. It's a BT-99. It features backboard barrel and utilizes the Invector Plus choke tube system to provide more consistent patterns and reduce felt recoil. And then for the ultimate sporting clays gun, it's the Satori 725, a perfect blend of beauty and performance with five Invector DS choke tubes, a ported barrel, triple trigger system, Vector Pro length enforcing cones. And, you know, if you like the feel of that Satori for sporting clays, you can always invest in one for hunting upland birds and waterfowl if you want. And there's a field model available. So check those out as well as the full line of ammunition from Browning. It's brand new for Browning this year. The 22s are in, and, you know, 22s have been hard to find, but Clyde's has got plenty of Browning 22s. They carry trap and skeet loads also, shooting vests and gloves, range bags, hearing and eye protection for all you all. That number is 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. That's ClydeSports.com is the website. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, if you enjoy gardening, I like to recommend Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. I've known Jimmy for years, and Gina and the whole family. They got some great sons, and they just work their butt off to help you with your purchases and maintain their beautiful, beautiful farm down there. Papa John's greenhouses are just bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. They've got annuals by the pack or the flat. They got perennials by the pot. They've got the bedding plants, the planters, and they have a whole greenhouse full of hanging baskets. Colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, you name it, they've got them all. And they even carry the proven winner specialty plants. Now, that's Papa John's Farm. They have all the vegetable plants, too, for your home garden as well. Tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe and zucchini and 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs as well. So why not check out Papa John's Farm? It's located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right up to the greenhouses or the wagons that have those you know, beautiful flowers on them and make your purchase. Or you can call 969-5909. That's 410-969-5909. I'd like you to think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your family, for your home garden, for your church. Call 410-969-5909 or stop by, because Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. It'll grow on you.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got bug baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we're back with Alan Klotz. Are you with me, Alan?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. Weapons of mass destruction. There's so much to talk about. I mean, we talked a little bit about the yellow perch and drifting for them and that type of thing. You can cast to them and catch a lot of them. They bite minnows and they bite worms and they bite any kind of live mate. We talked about the smallmouth bass. We talked about the walleye. Tell me about catfish at Deep Creek Lake. Do you have any?
We have bullheads. We have yellow bullheads and brown bullheads.
Okay.
And they are big, robust critters. I mean, when we were out electrofishing in March during our northern pike surveys, they were ready and shallow.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they are a tasty fish as well.
Oh, I
grew, most people just throw them back, but, the, you know, deep fried, delicious.
Hey, I grew up on them, man.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on them. I mean, you know, I don't mind catching bullheads at night. Night's the best time to catch them. You just, you know, you just sit there with a, you know, sinker on the bottom and a snelled hook halfway, you know, 18 inches up your line and just wait for them because that's,
yeah,
all, that's all you got.
Yeah, bonfire.
Yeah, yeah.
Good evening.
Good. Okay. Well, I didn't know about the carp, and I have to ask, any indication of any snakeheads in Deep Creek yet?
No, we haven't. You know, we get reports here and there, and they always turn out to be a common fish species.
Yeah, chain pickerel or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you. And hey, look, I got a 28-inch chain pickerel up there when I was up a couple of years ago. So I mean, there's, you know, they're a feisty little fish too on light tackle.
Yeah, there's a, you know, it's one of the more abundant fish in Deep Creek Lake.
And, I hate them. I hate them, the hammer handles. But you catch a decent one, you know, you've got a nice little fish there.
Oh, yeah, and they are fun to catch.
I mean,
there's just no doubt about it. Some days they'll save your fishing day. When nothing else seems to be biting, the chain pickerel will be biting.
Exactly right. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about panfish. We mentioned the catfish. You got the brown and the yellow bullheads. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good eating. We talked a little bit about the yellow perch. Very nice bunch of yellow perch and big ones there. I think at one point, again, Deep Creek held the record for yellow perch.
It did.
Yep. It's been beaten since with a farm pond fish, but, you know, consistent big catches of yellow perch are great. I just briefly mentioned the bluegill, but you've got a bluegill fishery up there that is excellent.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible. And one of my, you asked about shore fishing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places to catch those big bluegill this time of year is right along the Deep Creek Lake State Park shoreline between the beach and the boat ramp.
Okay.
And the key is fishing right at dusk. I mean, those big boys will come in just as the sun sets. And, you know, simple fishing, bobber and worm.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous. And that's what I have done here recently. And
have you done anything with the fly rod? Little popper bug or spider?
Oh, they'll work, but, you know, simply I've been fishing with bait recently. But fly fishing for them. Once they get on their beds, especially in the, you know, back end of the coves.
Right.
And those big fish on a fly rod, it's incredible the fight those buggers put on.
No question about it. All right. And one fish that not a lot of people know or fish for in Deep Creek Lake is the black crappie.
Yes, and they're spotty.
Yes.
They're very spotty. You know, I usually catch them by accident, fishing for smallmouth bass.
Right. Yep. Well, I'll tell you, caught the biggest crappie I ever caught in my life. It was 14 and a half inches
mm-hmm.
out of Deep Creek. It's not the biggest crappie in the world, but it was my biggest one. And I caught a rock bass, a goggle eye, a red eye, whatever you want to call it, over 10 inches.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
It is a big one. And, you know, they're also available, kind of a bycatch. I mean, I don't know anybody that fishes for rock bass, but, you know, it specializes in them. But there's another nice fish.
Yeah, and again, you'll catch plenty of those fishing for smallies this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same, you know, habitat,
sure.
Rocky Shoal areas.
Rocky Shoals,
and
exactly.
They are aggressive. And that's one of the fish that gives you that real hard tug right away.
Yep.
Then just give up.
Yep, that's exactly right. Bam, and they just lay over and say, you got me. So,
yep,
I get it. But I think we've covered the gamut of the panfish. We've got the yellow perch, the rock bass, the black crappie. You got the catfish. What else am I missing on panfish?
We got pumpkin seeds, too.
Pumpkin seeds.
Very bright colored sunfish. And again, you know, like the bluegills, there are some exceptional size pumpkin seeds in there. And like bluegills, which always nest in, you know, bunched together, they have beds. The pumpkin seeds tend to have more single beds. When you see that single bed, it's
mm-hmm.
generally going to be a pumpkin seed. And
okay, because the bluegills will spawn in mass, and they'll just
right.
they'll just dot the whole area there with mm-hmm. With their beds and that type of thing. So, very nice. No white perch.
No white perch.
No white perch. Got mm-hmm. it. Got it. Very good. All right. Now we talked about the smallmouth. We talked about the spawn. What about the largemouth? Tell us about those.
The largemouth, you know, you may recall back in 2010, we had a massive fish kill on Deep Creek. I mean, just thousands of fish died because, I mean, we just had extremely hot weather that year. Fish were stressed. And it's a couple subsequent years after that largemouth bass fishing just really tapered off. I mean, I was going to the bass tournaments for check-in.
Mm-hmm.
And they just really weren't, you know, bringing in the largemouth like they had it prior to that fish kill. So it had more effect on them, I think, than other fish species. We did do a corrective stocking. Our Manning Hatchery folks produced about 10,000 fingerling largemouth bass that we stocked in the lake in 2012. And now we are just seeing that bass population is back in full swing. You know, we had really good years of reproduction since then as well.
Right.
And the fishing for largemouth is as good as it has been. So that was good to see. I'm glad to see that they made a strong comeback.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So are they back to where they used to be as far as size-wise and numbers?
Oh, yes. And we've collected some since 2010 that we're over 7 pounds.
And nice.
That's a nice fish.
That's a nice fish anyway. I mean, you know, it's do you find the growth rate on the bass and those fish slower because the water is so cold or on average or even better than average because of the forage?
It's slower than, you know, downstate for
right.
sure because of water temperatures. But, you know, 12 12-inch fish, or, you know, legal fish, will take 3 years to get to that 12 inches.
Right, right.
You catch a 20-inch fish, those 5-pounders,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're looking at, you know, at least 10 years, maybe 12 years to get
right.
them that big. So it takes a while to get a really trophy-sized fish up in these waters. So.
Okay. Do you have any particular guides you could? I don't want you necessarily promote anybody over the air, but do you have anybody up there that takes fishing parties that you could email to me?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting some inquiries on email about that. So maybe if you get a chance, Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, if you want to drop me an email sometime after the show with some names and possibly numbers that we could contact.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that is the way to go. If it's, you're a first-time fisherman coming up on vacation with your family, it's best, you know, get someone who knows where the fish are to put you on the fish.
Cause, sure.
You know, it's a big lake.
It is huge. People don't realize how big the lake is. How many square miles is the lake, Alan?
Ooh, it's 3,900 acres.
That's a lot of acres.
That's a lot
I mean,
of acres,
how,
yeah.
Any idea how many miles of shoreline?
It's over 60. It's like 62, 64 miles of shoreline.
Yeah.
And it's diverse. I mean, you go from the shallow areas in the south that have a lot of weed beds, which is great for the warm water fish species. Then you go north of the 219 bridge, and it goes into that steep banks with those big boulders, which are great for the smallmouth. There's a real diverse habitat in that lake, and that's why we have so many, you know, different game fish species in there.
Wow. That's cool. That's very cool. So, all right. Well, it's a big lake. Let's talk about some other places to fish up there, and we'll talk. Maybe we'll circle back to Deep Creek. No, let's finish Deep Creek. Let's talk about trout fishing. Year-round fishery for trout?
Yes, it's pretty unique. We start stocking it with trout back in probably 1990. We were doing some water quality analysis near the dam breast during midsummer. There's plenty of cold water and oxygen
right.
for trout year-round. So we'll stock in the springtime, this time of year, at the angler access points with about 12-inch fish.
Right.
And those fish survive. You know, ones that don't get caught or eaten.
Right.
it produces some big trout. I'll send you a picture. We were electrofishing out in the open lake a few years ago. We collected a rainbow trout that looked like a steelhead.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
It was huge. And they'll eat, and I did some stomach analysis on the ones we collected, and they're eating the invertebrates that are found in the lake. You know, there's a lot of mayflies in there, a lot of midge larvae, and they're very selective. They could pick out those little critters out of that water column and, you know,
yep.
grow to some, you know, great sizes.
Wow, that's a big rainbow. There's some brown trout in there that are, I don't know if there's any left that, again, the state record brown trout, I believe, came out of Deep Creek a long, long time ago.
And hung up in Johnny's bait house. Right?
Yeah, it hung up for years in Johnny's bait house. So, interesting. But are the rainbows the only species you've got?
And there should be. I mean, we stock browns in there occasionally when they're available, so they should still be in there. I know I do a little electrofishing in the tributary streams in the fall, and they actually make a spawning run. Of some of our tributary streams, and we still do collect brown trout,
right?
As well as the rainbows. So.
Okay, cool. Hang on there, Alan. I think we're going to take Larry's call from Towson. Hold on, let me get in touch with Pepe here. Are we locked in?
You just
lost Alan. Hold on. Is this Larry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I think we just lost Alan.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because I wanted to ask him about something. He keeps referring.
Yeah, he's gone. And now, all right. Okay. We are at an impasse here. We've just lost both calls. And we're trying to reconnect. Okay. All right, cool. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We got a little technical glitch here. We're going to take a little break, and let me tell you folks about Clyde Sports Shop while we're figuring it out. And we'll ask all of our folks to call back if we can. Okay, let's see. We've really got a mess here, folks. I'm sorry about that, and I'm just trying to figure out what to do with it to get us through. So I think what we'll do is talk about Clyde's Sports Shop and let those two guys work it out back there behind the window. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, that's just off Beltway number 9. If you're coming on 95, it's South Caton Avenue. You can also wind your way to Clyde Sports Shop. But we want to talk about their fishing and crabbing supplies. If you need anything for fishing, any live bait, any rod and reel repair, any line wound on your reels, anything, you know, they've got great St. Croix rods. They've got all the Shakespeare products, all the Pfluger products, you know, some of the Shimano stuff and others. They've got a full complement of reels and rods for any type of fishing. So you might want to check that out as well. Now, if you're looking for trolling baits for rockfish, if you're looking for plastics for bass, if you're looking for panfish tubes and twisters and, you know, power bait and that kind of stuff, all of it available right there at Clyde Sports Shop. And crabbing season is underway. Crabbing's doing pretty well, as a matter of fact. They've got all the traps and pots and trout lines and everything else that you could need, want, or imagine for crabbing. They even sell their own brand of crab seasoning in the steaming pots, too. So why not stop by and check out the giant selection at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Let me give you their contact number, 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Or the 24-hour fishing hotline is 247-3474. That's 410-247-3474. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-
763-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our trap cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares.
All right, let's see if we got things fixed up here. Alan, are you with us?
I am here.
Okay, here comes Larry, wants to talk about electrofishing. Good morning, Larry. Sorry about all that.
There's no worries.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Alan, great show.
Thanks, man.
I know where you get your music repertoire.
Yeah, we just pick it out of our head.
So. I wanted to ask Alan from Western Maryland. I used to have a camper out there in Little Orleans, and I've done some fishing out there. What is electrofishing?
Electrofishing, we have a boat that's equipped with a generator and a positive probe that go into the water and produce a pulse direct current. And, you know, when the fish comes in contact with electricity, their tendency is they just start swimming right towards the electrical current. And they'll come to the top, and we simply scoop them up and put them in a live well, and they'll recover within a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's how we get a lot of our biological data.
All right, couple quick questions. Have you seen this lure on TV that vibrates and has a shining pulse in it?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's something that vibrates in the water, and it's got a light in it that pulses. And they say it catch everything with it.
Yeah, yeah, you got to believe it if it was on TV or the Internet.
You're right. I mean, I didn't buy it because I fell for some of those things a few times, and it never worked.
Right. So, now electrofishing, Larry and Alan explained it succinctly there, is used all across Maryland. They use Chuck Stentz is our traveling electrofisherman, and he uses several different electrofishing boats to collect samples of shad, for example, down in the Patuxent. I've been with him. I've been with him on the Marshy Hope, fishing electrofishing for sturgeon. So, you know, we've gill netting for sturgeon, actually, on the electrofishing boat. But it's quite a process. You don't want to touch the water, and you just want to let the handling of the current up to the experts. And I just like to stand back and watch. And they're very adept when that charge goes into the water and the fish come to the surface really close to the boat. They're very adept at scooping them up quickly and taking them into the live well. And, you know, they're not all you know, laying on their side, flopping around. They're pretty quick. And as Alan said, they recover quickly. So I hope that answers your question.
So no disrespect, but that isn't like fishing. That's kind of like...
It's research, man. It's research.
Yeah, that's research.
That's all it is research.
Very good. Excellent.
All right. Thanks for the call, Larry.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Alan, let's talk about other places to fish there in your area in there, Western Maryland. We don't have a lot of time left, but we'll talk a little bit about Savage Reservoir, maybe.
Okay, Savage is a great place to go. And, you know, I'm a pan fisherman because I got a 17-year-old son who's 6'5" and eats a lot.
And a lot of fish, I'm guessing.
Oh, my goodness. I can feed that kid fish sandwiches all day long, I tell you what. But the Savage is a great place to fish for panfish. It was, again, drained in 2010. They had to make some repairs on the dam.
Yeah.
And it was refilled, and we did an intensive stocking program for the panfish that were in there. And it has resulted. It's back to where it was, if not better. The black crappies, as you said, have come on so strong in there. The upper end is just flooded willows. It's just perfect spawning habitat. And plus we do a Christmas tree fish habitat
right
here, and they really key on those structures. And when you're talking about large ones, it's routine to catch 14, 15-inch black crappies.
Nice.
And that, lots of,
yeah, that's, I mean, like I said, I wasn't specializing in on crappie fishing. I was just fishing minnows right there at 219 Bridge right there at the grass bed, and we caught everything. We caught smallmouth and walleye and pickerel and rock bass and black crappies and you name it. So,
right.
But it was great. So, yep. So, and you've got the black crappie there at Savage, and then you've got yellow perch there too?
Lots of yellow perch. We didn't restock those at all because they were in the upper river.
Right.
And they have just come on very strong. And I think because we're still trying to reestablish the walleye population.
Right. I fished there with Lou Surgeon. A long time ago,
mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if he's still around, but that was years ago. We fished Savage for walleye, so. But, yeah, cool.
Yeah, we've got the rock bass are in there, lots of bluegills, not as big as Deep Creek, but still the ones you get a good flay out of.
Sure. Why was Savage drained in 2009?
Part of the flood control dam.
Mm-hmm.
You just simply need it replaced.
They used to drain the thing down for winter. You had winter pool and summer pool, and
right.
There used to be some pretty big pike in there too.
Yeah, we didn't collect any pike in there.
And they used to be that. If you would go down, what is the road that runs right by there? It's into Pennsylvania. There was a bait shop down there. I can't remember the name of the bait shop. But years ago, you used to go in there, and the guy had all these big fish mounted on the wall, all these big skin mounts of pike and things, and walleyes that he caught in Savage. Yeah, I wish I could remember the name of it. I've been there a couple times, but anyway, there used
Nicklow's,
to be some.
Was it?
Huh?
Was it Nicklow's?
Yeah, Nicklow's.
Nicklow's, yeah.
Yeah, Nicklow's Bait Shop. Yeah, is he still around?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Get my minnows.
Probably third generation, I would imagine, by now. But yeah, that was great.
It's
great
a neat
fishing
spot. You see old, Polaroid pictures still hanging on the wall.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, all right. Then you right up the road the other way. You've got Broadford Lake.
That's my favorite, bar none.
For a pan fisherman.
It's for a pan fisherman. I was there the other day fishing. Cause on my lunch break, I went out to the boat launch just to check condition. There are two older gentlemen there just worm fishing. They had two stringers full of nice yellow perch, bluegills, crappies, even some chain pickerel. And the neat thing is, they said they caught 5 striped bass and let them go.
Really?
Yeah, we've been stocking hybrid stripers and pure stripers in there probably for the last 8 years or so.
I had no idea there were any hybrid stripers left anywhere in Maryland.
Oh, yeah, and they're up to a size now where they're legal, 18 inches. But these guys just didn't know what the size limit was, so they let them all go. And they caught them on night crawlers.
Wow.
From the bank. That was pretty wild.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, I took off from work. Had it right up, went to Walmart, bought a dozen night crawlers. And I mean to tell you, I filled up a stringer, and I fed my boy and his other teenage buddy that evening. We had a heck of a fish fry. I didn't catch any of the stripers.
Right.
But plenty of bluegill and perch and even a couple of chain pickerel, too.
Wow.
It's a neat one.
You know, I love taking kids and newcomers just basic fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Worm, nightcrawler, bobber. And, and when that bobber goes under, man, that still thrills me, even though I've been doing it for a long, 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 long time. I love that, and it doesn't matter what the fish is. It just doesn't. I just to go.
So, I'm the same as you. I just get the thrill of seeing that bobber go under to this day. So.
Beautiful.
That's neat, taking kids out. As a matter of fact, as soon as we get off the phone, I'm heading up to the 4-H Center near Biddy, near Pleasant Valley Lake. We're having a junior hunter angler field day.
Oh, nice.
And that we probably have 100 kids there today, and that's all we're doing. We're fishing bobbers and worms for the bluegills there.
Oh, man.
And those kids, just they just love it.
That'd be great. That would be wonderful. So, okay. So, did we miss any place? We talked about Savage. We talked about what else is up there?
Jennings Randolph
Lake. Jennings Randolph. That's the one.
Sleeper. And
yeah.
I got some really good news for you on this one.
Okay.
We introduced yellow perch in there about 5 years ago. We took over 200 adults from
right.
Creek Lake and pre-spawn. You know, they hadn't spawned yet.
Right.
And we stocked them in Jennings Randolph Lake to get another food base going in there for the walleye.
Mm-hmm.
The walleye, they were sporadic.
Right.
They weren't very hefty.
Okay.
They're kind of thin. I got emails yesterday from a gentleman fishing, and he said the yellow perch fishing in Jennings Randolph Lake this year was phenomenal.
Wow.
They said he's catching small ones, but he sent me some pictures of, you know, 14 inchers.
Oh, man.
And he's catching with along with the walleye. So, you know, that was a really neat thing to finally, you know, get a yellow perch established in there, not only for the fishery, but for the food base for the walleye in there as well.
Cool. I'm very much looking forward to coming up there the first weekend in June, a couple days before that, and we'll be up there for a few days, and I'll be giving you a call, and I'll be talking to Matt, and maybe we'll see, maybe we can get together and do a little fishing together.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. So, and you can show me how to hook a worm on. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure I can remember how to do that.
Yeah, take so. A little bit of skill, but
yeah. So, all right, Alan. Well, look, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank you. Do you have any anything at the end of our show here that you'd like to leave people with, as far as, you know, recommendations for coming to Deep Creek, and you know, anything special they need to know?
Well, you know, if you're planning a trip up here, you know, feel free to call our office. It's in our, you know, the fishing guide, and I'll be happy to talk with anyone. You know, give them the most recent updates where the best fishing spots are for trout or any lake fishing. So
okay, now look,
I'm always happy to talk to anyone.
I'll be coming up there first weekend of June. Anybody else calls for that weekend? Okay.
Right.
You send them to wherever there is not a fish in the lake. And no, I'm just kidding you. I mean, there's plenty for everybody. There's all kinds of fish up there. You can focus on one or another, or just be a generalist like me and hope for something on a, you know, put a worm on and hope that a walleye or a perch or a bluegill or something bites it. And if you want to specialize in bass, maybe the topwater will be working by then.
Oh, it should be. It should be full swing.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. Can't wait. All right. Well, Alan, I appreciate you being here with us today, and look forward to seeing you when we get up there. I'll be calling you ahead of time. And don't forget to email me the names of those guides and outfitters that you might recommend, phone numbers and all that, and I'll pass that on to some of our listeners. And